You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming / preparing to learn from Sherry Moss, the Love Coach.
Yes.
I'm excited, Sherry. How are you doing
too.
Today?
I'm doing great.
So, I've known you forever. I don't know, a long time.
A couple years. Three or four years.
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. And I've always known you as the Love Coach.
Yeah.
So, tell me, and I guess the listeners too, what is the Love Coach?
What is love coaching? So, basically anything that has to do with your love life. So it's
right.
Around romance, romantic, dating.
Okay.
I mean, essentially loving yourself.
Sure.
Starting out with that.
All right.
But dating, finding the right one, keeping the right one.
All right.
Knowing when to leave the wrong one, knowing when to move on.
That is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with how long have you been doing this on your own?
Since 2008.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a while.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
It means you crested over 10 years.
I know.
High five there.
Right?
I didn't realize that. That's
yeah.
Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. How did you get into it?
Long story, short story.
You got some time.
Well, I've always known that I wanted to have my own business.
Okay.
Always been interested in love, relationships, romantic
sure.
stuff. Always.
Okay.
So since I was a wee little girl, always
all right.
interested and fascinated with emotions and how people relate to each other, human behavior, how we respond to each other.
Sure.
Like really little.
All right.
Like oddly young of just wanting to watch everyone and see how they are.
So you're talking about watching your parents and
yeah,
stuff like
watching
that,
parents, watching the little kids on the playground, you know.
All right.
Billy likes Susie type
sure.
thing and like what that's all about.
Like you were taking notes?
Well, no, just sitting back and
okay.
kind of like
just observing.
Yeah, paying attention and being really curious. So
all right.
I've always had an unquenchable curiosity for
all right.
people
sure.
and how they relate to each other.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, basically how it started. And then I've always been someone that people just come to and talk about their problems.
Sure.
Like young.
Uninvited.
Since young.
They just show up and they're
everybody,
like,
exactly.
blah, blah, blah.
I'm standing in the grocery store line and people are telling me their life story about all their divorces and things. And I'm like, I don't even know how this happens.
That's
but
funny. I asked you where the bananas were. You told me you're getting a divorce. What happened
exactly.
Here?
I'm not even kidding. That happens all the time.
That's
so
funny.
So, and I love it. You know,
all right.
always have always been interested in it. Always loved doing it. Love being able to help.
Sure.
So that's been my goal since I was really, really young.
Okay.
And then, funny enough, I used to be a big fan of, since I was very young,
mm-hmm.
Bob Newhart Show.
Oh, really?
Ever hear of it?
Newhart?
Ever watch it? Yeah.
The hotel and all that jazz?
No,
ski lodge,
so that's Newhart. But
you're talking about the comedy thing.
The Bob Newhart Show came before Newhart.
Okay.
So Newhart was kind of a spinoff that came a little bit
sure.
later in the 80s. But the Newhart Show was him
comedy,
being a psychology.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
he
okay.
was a psychologist, right. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And it is a comedy.
Yeah.
But I watched all the reruns. And
sure.
I was like, oh. I totally want to do that.
That's so funny. So Bob Newhart.
I was like five.
He's got some cool comedy, but I have a challenge listening to him because I find myself talking like him after I listen to his
right?
stuff.
He's got a very distinctive voice.
And
yeah.
you can't, like, the whole slow, and it's a very dry delivery.
Dry, yep.
Right? So, I think too fast, or I feel like I move too fast
mm-hmm.
to maintain that slower pace.
Right.
He nails it.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose he has
oh, yeah.
to, but.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
super cool. It's interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So always wanted to do something like that. I mean, eventually then, obviously, I don't know what you want to know. Like, I have so
well,
much
like you,
to tell you. I don't know where to start.
Sure, sure, sure. So you went to college, it looks like. I saw on your website.
Yes.
All right. And you went to school for business.
I did. So
all
I
right.
mastered, I have my bachelor's in business and
okay.
management, and then minor in adult education from
okay.
El Verno College.
So the idea was you're going to start a business of some kind. You better
yep.
learn the back end of business.
Yeah. So I worked for an investment advisor for...
Did you really?
For 15 years, yeah.
Well, same one?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, okay. So we'll just back up a little bit. So then I knew in high school, you know, I still knew that I wanted to get into psychology, sociology.
Okay.
I was going to go to college for
sure.
that. And then got pregnant. 17 years old, and I was like, oh.
Oopsie.
Guess I'm going to do this instead.
Sure.
So I was actually on assistance, so on welfare for a while. And then my second daughter came along.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I needed to get a job. I wanted to go back to school. I was going to go back to school with the young kids, but you don't, you know, daycare is not affordable. The state
it's a challenge.
The state wouldn't help with, like, having your kids in daycare, but you're not really working or working full time.
Okay.
So I was like, I got to go back to school.
Right.
I mean, I got to go back to work. So, and all I had done really was basically babysitting and worked at Hardee's and things like that.
Pretty short resume.
Yeah, really short because I was young, right? Yeah. I had two kids. I was 19 years old and applied for everything.
So you had a two-year-old and a newborn, essentially?
Yeah, 18 months apart.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So then I went back to just searching for jobs and found a job as a receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
Landed a job as a receptionist at the investment advisor.
Okay.
Like a small financial planning investment advising out in Milwaukee.
Sure.
And kind of worked my ranks up there and kind of had, you know, I learned about life insurance, LTC, started doing stuff like that, and then was able to do a little bit more of the running reports, calculating rates of return, everything else that was involved.
Any
in
sales
that.
Stuff or just
No, I was just basically back office.
Okay.
So, and it was a good stable job.
Sure.
Paid really well.
Right.
But I just wasn't my jam.
Well, it was for 15 years.
I had to pay the bills. So and a couple of years into working that, I had my third daughter.
Wow.
Yeah. So three kids, stable job, just going to stick with it.
All right.
But after working there for a while, I knew I wanted to do something else. I knew I wanted to help people. I didn't feel like I was helping. I didn't feel like I was really doing what my heart's desire was. Okay. And I looked into going back to school, found El Verno. As soon as I stepped on campus, I was like, this is my school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So went there. I started there.
So you're talking after the 15 years?
No, before I quit my job.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a good full-time job, full-time school, full-time single mom raising three kids.
Dang.
Yeah. That was fun. I started that in 2005.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know how I did it. I don't. But then I ended up piling more onto it because it's like 2007, I think, I was actually watching VH1.
Okay.
And you remember how, you know, VH1, MTV became no longer music television. It was all reality TV.
Yes.
Right?
So, sad day.
They had a special on with Scott Baio.
Oh, really? From Charles in Charge?
Yes. And he was actually, he was trying to figure out how to settle down and why he was afraid of commitment.
Was this a real Scott Baio or he was acting as someone doing this?
No, it was like a reality TV show.
Wow. And, Scott Baio, you need to settle down. We're going to get a camera and help you.
Right. And he hired a life coach.
All right.
And that's the first time I heard of that word or that idea.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in psychology, but I knew that I looked it up and kind of was like, I got to get a master's and then you got to get a PhD to start making a lot of money at this. Is it really worth it?
Sure.
And that's why I knew I wanted to do business so business and management can translate into anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And adult education, I know I love to teach. So.
Sure.
So I ended up looking up what a life coach was from that show.
All right.
And I was like, oh, totally. This is it. This is what I can do.
Sounds magical.
It was. Right. And it was like, oh, I don't need a degree, but it's probably good to get a nice certification from an accredited, school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found IPEC Coaching.
Okay.
And signed up with them almost right away and started training with them.
Nice. So what does that entail? I guess I've heard of them, but I couldn't tell you what.
So IPEC they're really great. They actually put you through a rigorous program.
Okay.
And so you're in-person classes 3 days, like a 3-day weekend of just intense stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Learning all about yourself,
Okay.
Which is good because you're kind of coaching yourself.
Sure.
You're absolutely your first client, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're, you know, coaching your friends,
sure,
and your other classmates, and then all right, you have a mentor, and then you have assignments, and you have so it's a really good school that way. And then you have homework to do in between.
Okay.
You come back like 3 months later and you take the second set of,
okay,
of classes, and
sure,
a third set. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, a lot of people can take a, you know, online course,
sure,
and just be like, oh, I'm certified life
check this box
coach
and pay a few bucks, yes, and you got that certificate,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So IPEC is, you know, they're accredited through the International Coaching Federation, which is
okay,
a prestigious place and
mm-hmm,
which really monitors coaching schools and to make sure we're
okay
doing it right and not
sure
just, you know, throwing something out there.
Right.
So, yeah, so I went there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was now in school full-time.
All right.
Working full-time, raising three kids, and in coach training school.
Nice.
And then I started my business, too.
Did you have family to help with the kids or anything? Or?
No, but my kids were getting older by
just
then.
Just put them on a leash and attach them to a clothesline or something like that?
Luckily, they were in school a lot, obviously.
Okay.
And they would come to my school with me. So
okay,
in college, I had them sit in the computer lab while
that's
I'm in
awesome
class and work on their homework and stuff. And sometimes
sure
I brought them to work with me, too, and had them sit in a cubicle and work
right
on their stuff, too. So,
sure.
You know, you do what you got to do.
You worked it out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You got to figure it out. So,
from a, you don't have to go crazy in depth if you don't want to, but from a financial point of view,
mm-hmm,
you're working at this job. You're like, screw this. I'm starting my own business.
Yeah.
Was that a clean break, or did you start your own business as the coach before you quit your job?
Yeah, I did start it as a coach before I quit my job.
Okay.
So I started building the business in 2008,
mm-hmm,
and then quit my job in 2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so there was quite a bit of overlap then.
Yeah, but right, it's not easy to
no
build a
coaching no no no
business,
no no
so
no not even
like,
tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I'm working at the investment advisor, making good money there,
sure,
right?
Yep.
And so it sounds crazy. That's during the recession then, you know?
Yeah. A lot of phone calls saying, where's my money?
But it's like, who would quit their job at that time?
Sure,
period?
Right? That's fair.
I do not recommend doing it my way. And
sure,
if I ever talk to people about this sort of situation, I'm always like, no, you need to do like, you know, did you ever drive a manual car?
Everyone that I have is a manual.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
So you know the clutch,
yeah,
gas, that's what I'm always like, you got
it's
a
the
lot
gradual, right?
It's the gradual.
The friction point.
No, and
sure,
don't do it my way, which was I'm building it up, learning a lot, and then giving away a lot of free coaching so I
all
can
right
get training.
Sure.
And I can help people,
mm-hmm,
and I'm not really making any money at it.
All right.
But then I tell my boss, hey, I'd like to quit this job at some point.
Sure.
Well, wait, a little backstory from that.
All right.
I had found out that through the grapevine,
okay,
that my boss was trying to sell the business.
Okay.
But he didn't tell me. He kept
all right
it a secret.
He's trying to sell his financial planning business in the
yeah
middle of the recession?
Yes.
Okay.
And
probably wasn't alone.
I'm sure. But he didn't tell me, and
okay
my job would have been eliminated.
Oh.
So I had a little bit of a bug, you know,
right,
fire under my butt for
sure
that. But so it was kind of a push to say, hey, I would like to do this. I
mm-hmm
want my, I want moving into doing my own business.
Sure.
Do you think that I can help, you know, bring somebody else in, train them, and
sure
gradually move out of that, of this company into
mm-hmm
my own business? Oh, that didn't work.
He
was so
big
mad.
Fat no.
Mm-mm.
He was mad.
He was so mad. Like,
well, at this point, you're talking, you're there 15 years,
right?
Right,
right.
So the bomb dropped.
Right. I tried to be as nice about it as possible.
Sure.
But I did tell him, I'm like, hey, I heard you're trying to sell the company anyway.
Right.
So
did he deny that or?
No, he was like, oh, I thought you knew.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So so he was kind of like, no, 2 weeks, go.
Oh.
I'm like, okay.
Any severance here,
no
sir?
I know, right? That was the funny thing, because I said to him, I'm like, okay, I want to transition now. And he said, no, we're not doing that. And I said, okay, well, can I get some help with insurance and stuff?
Right.
And, no, but he had let someone go a year ago who was a bad employee.
Yeah.
And got like ridiculous severance package and everything.
Oh, interesting.
And I said to him, hey, so when someone does a bad job, you're
mm-hmm
going to give them all these perks. But
sure
when someone's doing a good job, no.
Like,
you know.
Interesting.
That's how it went down.
He needs
but
a little coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still talk to them? Are they just...
No, I don't. Okay. He was so mad about it that, you know, I just let him do his thing. Eh. But every once in a while, I'll Google and make sure the business is doing good. And
sure.
It looks like they're doing good. So that's...
They ever sell it?
I think they merged with someone.
All right. Sure.
It seems like.
All right. So... So you started your own gig, and were you starting out of your house, or did you get an office? Yeah.
So, no, it was all over the phone.
Oh, so that's kind of cool.
All over the phone coaching.
Sure.
Yeah, which is fun, because you can be in your pajamas, but it is a little bit different than being able to see
someone's facial. Language.
Yeah, body language and things like that is really important. But I did that for many years. Just
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
But I wasn't making any money.
Because you're doing it for free?
There were so many levels to this. How do you get the clients?
Sure.
How do you build credibility? Mm-hmm. And people over the phone, a lot of times, they don't take it as seriously, so they don't want to pay as much.
You can tell they're watching TV in the background.
Yeah, they're not getting as good a value maybe from it. Although I would always coach them and say, hey, be in this quiet spot.
Right.
Pay attention.
Right. This is for you.
So, I mean, I ended up cashing out my 401k.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I drained
my
banker. You
didn't learn anything in the financial place.
I drained like life insurance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was doing like selling some Herbalife, MLM stuff on the side.
Sure. Just anything to make ends meet.
Anything to try to like just pay the bills.
Sure.
And then I left my house in Milwaukee, rented it for a little bit, and then I moved to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you married, dating anyone?
Yeah, I was dating someone, so I moved out here for that at the time. But I loved Madison.
Okay.
As soon as I came out here, I was like, oh, this is my
pretty
town.
Cool town.
Sure. Oh, so much. It's like way more like community based and people care about each other. It seems that way. I don't know the people I'm around. It seems that way. Like they care about each other. They want to help each other. It's very connected, you know, way more than I felt like in Milwaukee.
Sure. That's fair.
Yeah. So I had to build a business out here then.
All
right. Right. Barely making anything, you know, but I felt like I felt good because I was helping people.
Okay.
Even though for a while I did a pay what you can afford program.
Right.
Yeah. That.
Oh, pay. So people pay you what they can afford.
Like, hey, whatever you can afford and I'll coach you.
PayPal you 50 cents or something like that.
Oh my goodness. That's the funniest thing because I coached a guy. He paid me $10 a month. I'm not kidding you.
For how many sessions?
Like four.
Four sessions is $10. It's not even minimum wage.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
But I wanted to. I wanted to help him. I really wanted to help him.
Sure.
And I did.
Okay.
So that was the good thing. I mean, over the course of like 6 months, like he got a really great paying job, moved out to the West Coast, got back together with his ex, like had another baby. Like he was thriving. And
wow.
Like, that was kind of the moment for me where I was like, oh, I probably should be charging what I'm worth.
Right?
Because I just made this guy a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I didn't make any.
Right. Who's winning?
Right.
Thanks, coach.
Right. So, but let's see. So, 2011, moved out here, started the practice, still was over the phone. And then I think I opened my office in 2013.
Okay.
No, I moved out here in 2012.
Okay.
I'm so horrible with dates.
It doesn't matter. We won't double check.
Okay. So I opened my office. I wasn't really making much at the time.
Okay.
Still.
Okay.
I was nannying, which I loved doing.
All right.
I needed
money. So you're taking care of somebody else's kids.
So I was nannying part-time. I taught myself how to crochet.
You're selling scarves or something?
I was selling scarves, literally.
How do you make any money selling a crochet scarf?
I made like $500 a month with crochet.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen my mom crochet.
Have you?
And
okay.
It just seems like it takes forever.
It does. It takes forever. So the time...
You selling the scarf for $1 million? Or how are you?
No, not much. It was just you had to learn how to crochet quickly.
Okay.
But it was nice. I mean, I did have extra, you know, that little bit of cash coming in, that security. And I also worked with kids with autism for a little bit, which doesn't pay enough.
Right.
It should, because it's, you know, it's a beautiful job, but it's hard. And so I was just doing whatever I could until I could build my business. And the nannying job was really good, paid pretty well.
All right.
In order for me, you know, to make something to survive.
At this point, you've already graduated college.
Oh, yeah. I graduated in...
I'm just double checking.
I graduated in 2009 from El Verno College, and then I also graduated from IPEC in 2009 as well.
So was that the trigger to move to Madison? Like, now you got this college thing under?
Yeah, okay. Everything's done, and then decide to quit the job and head out this way. Good decision. So the, seemed weird, but it was a good decision.
The person you were dating at the time, how, did you meet him online?
Or? Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So we had dated for a little bit and then I came out this way.
So it wasn't like you're coaching someone and said, you know what, who you're with is lame. I could step in there.
No, that did not happen.
Okay. Just checking. Just checking.
You know, after a while of nannying and stuff like that and slowly building my business.
Yeah.
I decided to open up an office because I really wanted to work with couples.
Sure.
And I had tried to work with couples over the phone.
And that was just
does not work. It just does not work. Sure. Because you can't tell who's trying to talk and and what and how they're relating to each other is more important than me even watching a person's facial expressions. But I need to see their expressions to each other and their interactions to each other. So I was like, I gotta open up an office.
Yeah. And so I, let's talk about logistics really quick of the office, right? Because now you're talking lease, terms, rent, all that jazz.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how did you figure what space you were gonna be in? And when you're not making any money.
Right. I know.
You're like, oh, now I'm going to make the net this nut of rent when I'm currently at less than great.
Right.
I have to come up with more.
Right.
So how do you figure that out?
Well, as little as possible.
All right.
To have a space.
Sure.
Which meant I went in with a friend of mine.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And we found a, it was like a, it was on University, one of the buildings on University Avenue. And it was like a closet, the storage space that they had.
That's awesome.
But it was enough.
Welcome to the sanctuary.
No windows.
Yeah.
But it was enough that I could use it part-time. She could use it part-time.
All right.
Kind of decorated it a little bit.
Sure. Was she doing coaching as well?
She was doing some energy work or something at the time. Yeah.
All right.
And that was good, but then my, you know, we had an open house and it turned out really nice and I got two couples coaching, full coaching clients at that time.
Nice.
And so it was like, whoa, you know, things got real,
real
quick.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting. And
as
so,
you planned, right?
So then after a year of that, we couldn't get our schedules right.
Oh, sure.
To get enough clients in.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to find my own place, and that's where I am right now off of Yellowstone
Drive. Oh, so you've been there that long?
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and then from there, things just started to build and build and build. And, like, I've coached, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of couples now.
Have you really?
Oh, and I just love it. It is just, seriously, the best, the most fulfilling thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the drama I had to go through to get here was definitely worth it.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So I want to ask you a few questions here that you, I guess, sent me to. One is marketing of the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's always interesting to me, I guess, marketing as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But two, more or less, you're starting out from nothing or with very little experience.
Right.
And you're saying, hey, you got problems. I'm totally going to solve them.
Right.
So how did you market when you first started out?
First started marketing, I threw a website up as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I think it was like a Google website at that
time. Sure, okay.
I don't even remember. Then I learned WordPress.
Okay.
And made that. And I think online presence was really important.
Yeah.
So people could just, you know, see kind of what you're about before.
Sure.
It gives you, establishes you more as an expert than just some random person in their bedroom coaching over the phone, right? So, yeah, so that was really important. And Google Places. Mm-hmm. Google has been the biggest thing for me.
Oh.
I, you know.
What are people searching for? Are they searching for therapists or coaching?
I think what they're usually searching for is like marriage counseling, marriage help, couples
my husband's
help.
Husband's a jerk.
Things like that. Communication issues, things like that, you know.
My wife never listens, whatever.
All of that, yeah.
Sure.
And I think, it, you know, if you I had a lot of my clients, I asked them if they were comfortable enough to, you know, leave a review, even if they didn't have it under like their name or sure. something. Because a lot mm-hmm. of people don't want to, they don't, that's why word no. of mouth is hard for me.
Sure.
Because nobody wants to say, my marriage sucked, and so I was seeing a
you're
therapist.
You're at some dinner party, and people are arguing. You're like, hey, I know someone that can help you guys.
Exactly. And nobody wants, yeah, sure. so they don't want to admit that they've done it, but they also right. don't want to tell people, your marriage sucks. Right. You probably should see someone.
Sure.
So that's not how I get my clients. It's all online. All
right.
So reviews were really important for mm-hmm. me. And then I got in everywhere possible. So
sure.
I was on Yelp. You know, I just right. made my presence known on
sure.
all these different websites, you
mm-hmm.
know, that were listing services and
sure.
anything for free.
All right.
Yeah. And then I had a friend of mine that I met through networking, and she said she would take a look at my website, and she
mm-hmm.
did some tweaking of some SEO things and
okay.
analytics, and I'm not good at that part of it.
Sure.
And she said to get on Psychology Today.
Oh, the magazine?
Yeah, so
okay.
The website,
okay.
Yeah, and I learned that you can, as a coach, you don't have to be a licensed therapist to do that.
Oh.
So I got on there, and that actually increased my rank,
okay.
I guess,
sure.
enough that then, you know, that really helped people huh. find me more.
Sure.
And then...
It just snowballed.
That's the best way to do it.
That's super cool.
I know.
Huh. So now let's talk a little bit about the actual coaching that you do,
mm-hmm.
because the marriage coaching thing, that blows my mind that you can do that. Just from a, not that you don't have the skill or anything like that, but just that you can tolerate two people that may or may not hate each other
mm-hmm.
in a
yeah.
room and you're trying to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Right. So like, how do you do that?
Well, it's different for everybody,
okay.
but I mean, some hard, fast rules is I have to love them.
Have to love them. Okay.
Yeah. Does that, I know that sounds weird, right?
Kind of.
Well, so I'm as picky about my clients as they would be about me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't just take anybody.
Okay.
I wouldn't let someone just come on and you know,
sure.
buy a program and start working with me.
Sit
they have
down,
to
cross
come in.
Arms. All
right. Right. We have to, like, this is a team effort. And
mm-hmm.
so we have to really get along. And
okay.
I have to, and I'm not hard. I don't think I'm hard to get along with, and there's not many people that I don't get along with.
Sure.
I'm sure there's some, but
sure.
not many.
Right.
And when they come to me for help, and I see that they're, you know, they're not like major moral problems.
Sure.
Which I won't even get into.
Right.
The things that I won't deal with, but it's very all far
right.
away.
I'm listening to the history of Kennedy now, so I'm learning all about that.
Oh, okay. So they sit down and I kind of get to know their personality, how
okay.
they work together, their
sure.
relationship, what they really want. I, you know, really get to know who they are, and then
mm-hmm.
I can decide, I think that we would be a good fit. And also if
okay.
they're coachable.
All right.
Because some people are real resistant.
Mm-hmm.
They're still stubborn, or they don't really feel like they're really ready to make a change.
Is it typically one of the partners, or is
it
often
could be.
Both?
It could be.
Okay.
Sometimes it could be both.
Okay.
And... So I want to make sure that I'm going to be able to help them
mm-hmm.
because
otherwise waste of time for everyone.
Right, exactly. Like
sure.
I'm not doing this just to make money.
Right.
I mean, I should make money, but
right.
I'm not doing it
more
to
than
make
10
money.
Bucks a
right.
month
I could have stayed doing anything else making money.
Sure.
But this is what I wanted to do, and I wanted to help people. So if I don't feel like I can help someone, I would refer them out.
All right.
Or refer them to something that I think will.
Gotcha. So mm-hmm. with your experience helping hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just downshift into the whole relationship stuff. What are some common things that you see between couples that you coach?
Communication.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, number one, communicating.
As
how
in
they
how
communicate.
They communicate?
How
or...
they communicate.
Okay.
How they listen.
Okay.
How they hear, how they interpret what the other person's saying, how
okay.
they respond.
Do you have any examples?
Oh, geez, billions. Come on. You're
billions.
In a relationship. I'm sure you could give me one.
I could give you thousands.
Right? Even the best of relationships have communication issues because
yeah.
we're complex, you know, human beings
right.
are complex.
Right.
And then you take two complex beings
mm-hmm.
and you try to mesh them together. It's
mm-hmm.
like, oh my goodness. I feel like relationships are the most complicated problems to be solved in this
you
entire
will
world.
Always have a business, that's for sure.
I totally agree with
There's
that.
There's never going to be a point where all relationships
mm-hmm.
are just perfect, right?
Right.
Like, oh, Sherry's out of a job.
Right.
Because...
So working with couples over the years, that's probably been, I mean, again, there's not a lot of hard, fast rules
sure.
with relationships. I know okay. a lot of people would like to say, well, this should always be this way, or this mm-hmm. should always be this way. But it depends on the couple and what their preferences right. are and what their mm-hmm. personalities are and what they each want.
Mm-hmm.
So, but some of the hard, fast rules are about making sure that each other feels heard during a conversation, okay. that your problems are valid,
mm-hmm.
right? That you're not being dismissed. Really big deal.
Okay. Not being dismissed.
Like, yeah. So if your wife comes to you and says,
sure.
the toilet seat keeps being left up.
Sure.
It's like, I just can't handle it anymore.
Right.
You would just be like, let's just put it down. It's not not my problem.
Right. I have to put it up.
Maybe we should just leave it up.
Right. I feel like I'm solving a problem.
Right. But it could be, they could feel dismissed then. And then
okay.
what that makes them feel like is that what is important to me is not important to you.
Oh.
And that causes distance in the relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could totally see that.
Little things like that.
Sure.
Can add up very quickly.
Well, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you live with a person.
Yeah.
That just, those annoyances will just snowball, right?
Yeah.
I can't think of any roommate that I've ever had that didn't annoy me in some way.
Right.
So, I can totally tell you that my wife just annoys me probably almost as much as I annoy her, because I'm certain that I annoy
right?
her.
Right? We all have those different nuances that we what we have to get used to.
So now I want to ask you a couple different questions here, because I'm thinking of stuff here. We got kids. Kids come into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of the people that I completely understand why there are jerks in the world. I don't justify it. But when kids get introduced into a relationship, a lot of times kids don't sleep. And so people are shy of sleep. And then they become jerks. And if you're already annoyed with the person that you're in a relationship with, now it's mm-hmm. just amplified.
Right.
Like, how do you solve that? Can you solve that?
Like blow-ups, are you saying? When we blow up at each other because of other outside sources? Like we're overtired or hungry or stressed?
Maybe. Sure. All that. Yeah. I guess, how do you even address it? Like, hey, let's just wait 5 years until your kid learns how to sleep and then come back and see me.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, this is where the work with the individuals mm-hmm. comes into place.
Okay.
So learning to emotionally be aware of what's happening for
you.
And then to control it.
Okay.
Yourselves.
Uh-huh.
So that is individual work. And that's how I work with my couples. I never work
with
just
couples.
Oh, this
is news. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my programs always entail work together. I always say each person in the relationship is my client.
Okay.
And the couple is my client.
Okay.
So I work with them individually and as a couple. Individually is usually your own stuff, any issues you have, how you deal with emotions, how you see things, your perceptions about yourself, self-esteem.
Sure. Okay.
How you see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as a couple, we usually work on how to communicate with each other and how to work through problems and how to increase intimacy and things like that.
Okay.
Make sense?
It does.
Yeah. So if you can learn how to manage your own stress appropriately, because mm-hmm. we're always going to have stress.
Sure.
You know, change causes stress and everything's changing.
I'll call it challenges.
Challenges.
I always tell my clients that stress is an illusion.
Oh.
That the feeling of overwhelm is an illusion. That mm-hmm. nobody gets excited about a flat roller coaster, right? That's the whole thing.
That's true, right?
So the universe, right, whatever you want to call it, is going to throw you challenges, but mm-hmm. there's never going to be a challenge that you can't overcome.
Right.
You may choose not to, or you may feel that you're stressed or overwhelmed that you can't.
Right.
But the truth is, you're just choosing not to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
We call them challenges, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, or opportunities.
Opportunities, even better.
Yeah, I see it as opportunity to learn and grow, mm-hmm. right? And to
absolutely.
Become a little bit more solid in who you are and how you deal with things. So,
Have you ever tried to help a couple and there was just no help?
It's just
ended up...
It's sad. Because like I said, I love my couples. I love them individually and I love the couple. And it's always my goal to try to,
keep the relationship.
Salvage this and
bring
the passion back.
Sure.
But sometimes the passion was never even there in the first place. So sometimes you can't create something from nothing. And I never make those decisions. I always allow my clients to make that for themselves, whether they're going to stay or go.
All right.
But I help to facilitate
mm-hmm.
understanding a little bit more about who you are and what you want.
Right.
And whether or not you're a good fit for each other.
All right.
I don't make that decision.
Sure.
But I help them to make that decision.
That's fair.
And it is sad. It's because
to a point.
I mean, well, it's sad at the moment because both people are sad.
Right. It's a breakup.
I'm very empathic, so I'm going to feel what they're feeling.
Sure.
And it's very stressful, and it's hard to make the decision, especially if you have kids or young kids involved.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so hard to make the decision, but I help them through it as much as possible.
Okay.
To, like, recognize that, okay, this isn't going to be easy, and how to, like, separate amicably.
Sure.
And do it in a really loving way versus fighting.
Sure.
You know, or hating each other or needing to hate each other.
Which just gets expensive.
It gets expensive. And the pain lasts longer and it can be more damaging to the kids too.
Sure.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents got divorced after 29 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember they were battling over a washing machine or something like that. And it was like the choice was my mom could either take this washing machine or she could take $600 or something like that. And she was moving into an apartment that had no space for a washing machine. And just to be spiteful to my dad, she took the washing machine.
Yeah, it happened.
Like, I think it was, like,
really?
It was spiteful, and you're in a worse position because of it, because now you got this washing machine.
Right, but she was probably hurting. And
Totally.
That's
totally
what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why working with them individually to help them to understand their emotions and how to deal with them a little bit better.
Okay.
You know,
fair.
Helps in the end if they decide to divorce or to separate, then it helps them to manage their own stuff and recognize that, okay, I'm being spiteful because I'm angry because I feel hurt by this.
Sure.
So what's a better way of dealing with this? Thinking about it.
Gotcha.
What's a more logical way and what's a more loving way?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like it. Mm-hmm. So now tell me, if you don't mind, you have people coming to you. Generally speaking, are they coming to you for just a few sessions or is it years on end?
No, it's not years.
Okay.
So I consider myself an educator. So
okay.
I want to teach people. Mm-hmm. I'm all about empowering, not enabling. And I teach people how to get themselves in a place where they can then continue life without me.
Okay, sure, sure.
And that comes in the form of that emotional awareness, emotional intelligence. And I walk them through an extensive assessment process to kind of figure out what's happening in the background of their mind, in their subconscious, their belief systems, habits of thoughts, things like that.
Is this something you've developed?
No, I'm a master practitioner in Energy Leadership Index. And so
holy cow.
That's through IPEC Coaching too. It's like their master program. And it's, you give them a nice assessment, and then you just kind of walk them through what happens when you have certain thoughts, how to see your emotions as being a guidance system.
Okay.
So it guides you towards what's happening in your subconscious. And if you know what's happening in your subconscious, then you can make it conscious, rework it, put it back in your subconscious as new habits, and then move along smoothly.
Sure.
That kind of makes sense?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's, I guess I'm thinking, it's just so surreal to me because I do the business coaching thing.
Yeah.
And businesses, it seems very objective. If you can make money, you're probably doing okay, right? What you're doing is much less objective, right? Because you're essentially asking people, are you happy? Which is a very tough question. Sometimes people don't even know how to define happiness,
let
alone if they've achieved it or not.
Right.
So this is one of the reasons why I'm so happy that I got you on the show. So I'm like, you got to tell me how you figure out, like, how do you know when you won? That your clients are happier, that they're satisfied. Do they send you an email or a letter 2 years down the road?
Well, I have a measurement process too.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I'm so excited. So,
well, I mean, I measure them in the beginning, so I give them the assessment,
right?
And I don't have a picture of it here, but it's just like this nice little bar chart that comes out. It says it's a snapshot of what's happening in their subconscious, how they're dealing with things and how they're dealing with stress and how they're not dealing with stress.
All right. Not any right or wrong answers necessarily.
Correct. Okay. It's just kind of saying this is what's happening.
Okay.
Are you, when you have a problem in life, do you normally respond to it feeling like a victim to it?
Oh.
Or do you respond to it feeling more like I need to fight back?
Sure.
Or is it more loving, compassionate? Right. Or are you more in a space of just saying, oh, this must be an opportunity to learn from?
So are these questions just like that that you're asking? Or the answers to those are the results of asking kind of questions like that tiptoe around some
of that
stuff?
The assessment that I give is a 72 Likert scale assessment.
Okay.
And that produces a nice snapshot for me.
Nice.
And I train them. I teach them what all that means. How they're responding to things.
All right.
Right. And then I use that throughout building their program.
Interesting. I'm just thinking, if people see answers to that, some of that is probably enlightening in itself.
Oh, it already increases their level of emotional awareness.
They're like, whoa, I've got this victim mentality.
Exactly.
Who knew?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then I have some other pieces that I do. I ask them a lot of questions about, you know, what do you think your purpose here on Earth is? And, you know, what are the happiest things about your relationship?
Sure.
And all of those sort of things to kind of like get a good analysis of how they see themselves and their relationship in their world. Mm-hmm. And then I have a nice little wheel that I give them. It's like a level of satisfaction in different areas of their life, level of satisfaction in different areas of their relationship.
Gotcha.
And I measure that in the beginning. Then I usually do it again towards the middle of the program and then towards the end. So I usually have my clients out within 6 months.
Okay.
That's the goal.
Okay. After meeting with you weekly or bi-weekly?
Usually weekly.
Or, okay.
And it's all customized to the needs of the clients. So how many individual sessions versus how many couple sessions.
Sure.
They're all based on what they need.
Okay.
Yeah. And then sometimes it'll be, you know, if they're doing really well, but I want to make sure it's going to be sustainable and it's not just like...
Sure.
You know, like when you first start a weight loss program, you're at the gym every day and excited, you know, you want to make sure that after months and months of doing this, that this is shifting how they're thinking, how their subconscious is working, and that it's actually sustainable and it's not just some hype. So I'll stretch it out a little bit every other week, maybe every 2 weeks, sometimes once a month.
Okay.
So it can go out a little bit longer.
Sure.
Depending on what I'm seeing from them and making sure that things are
all right
and cleaning up any little things maybe that I've fallen out along the way.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
Structures, it works really, really well.
I
yeah.
like it.
And I always say it's how I do it because I don't usually do a pay per session thing.
Okay.
I always get my clients into a program.
A program of some kind.
Just like if you're going to work with a personal trainer.
Sure.
Because if you paid for 20 sessions with a personal trainer, you're most likely going to use the 20 sessions.
They better.
And you're probably going to use them in succession.
Sure.
And not like once a year or something for 20 years.
I did my 10 push-ups,
right?
I'm
good. Exactly. So it's really for the benefit of them, mostly.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you, I want to talk about the other stuff you have going on.
Oh, okay,
because
sure.
if you're cool with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So you got the love coach stuff. I want to say couples counseling, but it's more...
Mm-hmm.
Relationship therapy type stuff.
Yeah.
But you also have some other stuff going on.
I always have other stuff going on.
Do you want to tell us about them?
What other stuff are you thinking of?
Is PWOW a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I started a networking group out in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Back in like 2008 also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Women's networking.
Okay.
I didn't find a whole lot of good networking pieces out in Milwaukee area.
Okay.
So I started my own.
Sure.
That turned out really good. It was funny because like the first couple sessions I had, it was just me.
Kicked butt again today.
Like, all right, go group.
Yeah.
But then I got a couple more people and,
sure.
you know, you just, that's I think out of everything, perseverance is like the biggest thing. You just keep going.
Well, it's the name of the game.
You
yeah.
don't quit just because something's like not working out perfectly for you. You just keep going and see what happens, you know? And then when I moved out here, I brought a chapter out here. So there's still a chapter out in Milwaukee.
You started a networking thing in 2008 in Milwaukee, and it's still rolling.
Yeah, yeah. They have about 1,000 people out there.
You're kidding.
The meetings are small, though. There's still only about 30 people per meeting.
That's still impressive.
Oh, thanks.
There's franchise networking things that can't do that
around
here.
That's true.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
So you started one in Madison?
And Madison. Madison was better. I told you when I came out here, community was like, yeah, networking, yes.
I love networking, yay.
But the funny thing about Madison is that the very first meeting I realized, because I was always told you don't drink when you're networking.
Oh,
but my first meeting in Madison was like everybody had a drink. And I was like, oh, this is a whole different ballgame.
That's awesome. For the better, presumably?
Yeah, everybody's real relaxed. It was good. And my goal for that group has always been to make it relationship-based, obviously.
Okay.
So building relationships before business.
Okay.
So
not necessarily romantic.
No. Just getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. Friendships and really understanding who people are versus how they can be either a referral source or a sale for you.
Sure.
You know, where I think that can happen a lot of times in a lot of networking groups.
People get their little sales glasses on. Or they're just,
like,
if you don't have a wallet open to buy from them. They don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's what that goal was. And that group went really well in Madison. I mean, nice. We were pulling in over like 85 to 100 people per meeting in the beginning. Yeah.
Per meeting?
Per meeting. Mm-hmm.
Where did you have these?
At Badger Bowl, when Badger Bowl was around.
Oh, sure. All right.
Yeah. They were good. It was great. And I had so much fun with it.
Yeah.
And so then over time, though, I kept kind of restructuring it.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be smaller, more personal. I felt like it was better. You could get to know each other better if it was smaller. So we narrowed it down to more like 30 people per meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to be actually, you're the first to know this, I'm actually giving it over to, I don't know if you know Kristen Rogers.
I do.
Yeah. So I'm passing the torch, LeBri.
Skincare. That's, I'm just pronouncing this like a guy.
Right.
Some stuff.
Skincare stuff.
Yeah.
So she's going to be officially taking over at the beginning of the year for
nice.
A few while.
All right.
I mean, I'll still be in the back. Of it, but
sure.
Yeah, letting it go because I got other things on the horizon.
Wow.
So.
And you want to share?
What I have going on?
Yeah.
Well, part of it is expanding my business beyond just one-on-one coaching.
All right.
So I have
internet-y type stuff? Or?
Yeah. I developed this, and I think I talked to you about this before, the Effective Conversations 10-Step Method.
Mm-hmm.
And I've refined it over the years working with my couples. I've realized there are some really key steps that need to happen in order for them to learn how to communicate with each other properly and how to solve problems and how to be nice to each other during these things.
There's that.
And feel more connected at the end of it and have fun again, because a lot of couples end up hating talking to each other after a while.
That's
fair. And
they
just stop.
Yeah.
So I learned that in my couple sessions, I would say, okay, you say this, and now you say that, and you say this, and you say that. And then after a while, I realized that there is actually a method to this.
Wow. Oh.
And I wrote it down and then trained them on that. And then now I've refined it and defined it over and over again to it's like this really golden piece of information that's really helpful. And my couples love it. So I have like a little script and I'm training them on their communication muscle, basically.
Okay.
So they're learning it kind of robotic at first in this 10-step method, and then it becomes more natural over time. So their communication flow is a lot easier.
All right. So conscious becoming subconscious, unconscious, right?
Yeah. Okay. So
this is your method.
It's my method.
Wow.
And I love it. It's been so helpful for so many people, and I've seen it save marriages.
Oh.
Alone, just this step alone.
All
this,
right.
This process. So I decided I really want to share it with more people.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get it out there. So I've been building an online course.
Nice.
And of course, I want to do it all myself. So I'm like trying to learn, you know, online courses, how it looks and how to make it work. So putting that together and that's going really well. So hopefully within the next few months, I'll be able to roll that out.
Nice.
So that'll be something that anybody can use then.
Sure.
They don't even have to know me. And then also I'm along with it creating kind of a system. So there'll be a workbook. There'll be a fun game, because some people don't think it's fun to sit there and learn how to communicate. So I've created a nice little card game.
Right?
Yeah. So a little card game to make it a little more fun for people.
All right.
So that'll be nice to add on to that. And then in-person workshops. I also want to do some more in-person workshops. Teaching people, just couples, like, okay, this is how this works, and they'll practice, and then I can come over and help them. So,
yeah.
So that's where I'm expanding that. That's where
that's
most of my focus is going into.
Online stuff you've been working on for a little while, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge undertaking, right?
Yeah,
it's like
it
quick build curriculum and videos and content and all. That's not a light switch. That's
right.
A,
and I always want to do everything myself, so I had to learn video producing and editing and software stuff and.
No, I know where you're coming from.
How to create a membership site on your own website,
yeah.
All that sort of stuff. And I'm glad. I like it. And I love learning. So it's been fun to do.
No, I went through all that. I
wanted
to do it myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no one else can do it.
Quite as good as you can.
Yeah,
right?
Or, right, or, that's probably
to.
Not true. I guess from my perspective, I would change my mind. As I'm learning, I would say like, oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Right.
We should totally do that, right?
Yep.
And I wanted to waste my time versus waste someone that was paying, you know, a few thousand dollars to put this together.
And then you have to redo it.
Yeah, and I don't even know what's available for the changes, right? So I would have paid someone whatever to help me build this product.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been cool, maybe not.
Right.
But then I wouldn't have learned what the tools are, what's available, right?
Right, yeah. So this was, you know, pie in the sky idea a couple of years ago, which is finally manifesting. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about
it. Super cool. And was there some other networking thing? I'm trying to think.
Was there
WWE? Is that you?
No, that's not me. That's not you. I do have a mastermind group, but that's kind of a little secret society force.
We don't have to talk about that in a secret society.
I just like to help, you know, other entrepreneurs.
Sure.
But they don't necessarily want everyone knowing that they're part of a you know, group, I guess. So, but that's been really fun too, to help people kind of grow their businesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I don't know if there's something else that I have going on.
That sounds like enough. I don't know.
Well, my boyfriend has a wonderful book. He's got a book series, so we've been working on that published. He's got one of nine published already.
Fiction or nonfiction?
It's sci-fi, fiction, adventure, kind of comic. Handwritten and illustrated by him. So
did you say handwritten?
Yeah.
Handwritten.
He hand wrote all of them out. Yeah.
So when it's published, does somebody have to retype it, or is it published as script?
Yeah. So we took pictures of the first one and scanned a lot of it and then put it in the first book. So the second one, we actually created a font in his handwriting, and now I'm retyping it into that. So that's a big project we're working on too. So
it does sound like a big project.
But it's fun.
Self-publishing or publishing?
Yeah, through KDP. Yeah, okay, Amazon.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Always good fun.
Right? Yeah. That's a fun process to learn.
Nice. Yeah. Speaking of which, I got a book for you.
Yay! This is my favorite book.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll get you another one then. Easy read.
Awesome. It's fun. Awesome.
It is awesome. You are too. So I'm trying to think what else I have for you, but I guess we're out of time, so I really don't have much.
Oh, we are already?
It went fast.
Okay.
So I will ask you one last question before we leave, just because of what you do. If there was a piece of advice that you would give someone in a relationship.
In a relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even if it was someone considering to be in a relationship, what is a piece of advice that you would give them?
Ooh, let's see. Out of so many pieces.
Put the seat down.
There's so many. There's so many. But I really think that it comes down to being your authentic self.
Okay.
Loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Before you need someone else to love you.
Oh. So you don't become dependent on them.
Correct. Interdependence in a relationship, not co or independence. Yeah.
I love it. That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's solid. You just saved thousands of marriages.
Right?
Made a bunch of better relationships. Sherry, thanks for being on the show. This has been awesome.
It was so good. It was so fun. Thanks.
How can people find you?
Website.
SherryMoss.com.
All right. SHERIMASSS.com.
I had to look that up.
Right?
I've been spelling your name with one S for so long. So SherryMoss.com is super awesome. The Love Coach. If they type in the Love Coach in Google Machine, you'll come up, I imagine.
It might
right?
work, yeah.
Okay. We'll just say it will. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on the web, please like, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com. As well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our wonderful guest, Sherry Moss, the Love Coach, at sherrymoss.com. Thank you so much for being on here.
Thank you.
This has been cool.
Yeah.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Woof, that's a mouthful. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.